Adhyam manu pranjalaya pranemu.
Adhyam manu
It is impossible to conceive of the existence, name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is transcendentally situated beyond the conception of materialistic persons. Because materialists cannot imagine or conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they think that God is dead, but factually he is always existing, and as such, Ananda Vigraha, his eternal form. Constant meditation concentrated on the form of the Lord is called samadhi. Or trance. Samadhi means particularly concentrated attention, so one who has achieved the qualification of always meditating on the personality of God and is understood to be always in trance, and enjoying Brahma Nirvana or Brahmananda. Lord Shiva exhibited those symptoms and therefore the state was absorbed in Brahmananda. Another significant word is yoga kaksham. Yoga kaksha is a sitting posture in which the left thigh is fixed under one's tightly knotted saffron colored garment. Also the words manuna adhyam are significant here because they mean a philosopher, one who is thoughtful and thinks very nicely. Such a man is called manu. In other words, Shiva is described as the chief of all thinkers. Lord Shiva, of course, is not engaged in useless mental speculation, but as stated in the previous verse, he is always thoughtful regarding how to deliver the demons from the fallen condition of life. It is said that during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, Sada Shiva appeared as Advaita Prabhu, when Advaita Prabhu's chief concern was to elevate the fallen condition souls to the platform of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Since people are engaged in useless occupations which would continue their material existence, Lord Shiva, in the form of Lord Advaita, appealed to the Supreme Lord to appear as Lord Chaitanya to deliver these delusional souls. Actually, Lord Chaitanya appeared on the request of Lord Advaita. Similarly, Lord Shiva has a sampradaya, the root of sampradaya, as I was thinking about the deliverance of the fallen souls as exhibited by Lord Advaita Prabhu. Lord Shiva's lotus feet were worshipped by both the demigods and demons, but still, in spite of his exalted position, as soon as he saw that Lord Brahma was there among all the demigods, he immediately stood up and offered him respect by bowing down and touching his lotus feet, just as Vamanadeva offered his respectful obeisances to Kasapa Muni. Therefore, Kasapa Muni was in the category of living entities, but he had a transcendental son, Vamanadeva, who was the incarnation of Vishnu. Thus, although Lord Vishnu was the Supreme Personality of God, he offered his respects to Kasapa Muni. Similarly, when Lord Krishna was a child, he used to offer his respectful obeisances to his mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. Also, at the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna touched the feet of Maharaja Yudhisthira, because the king was his elder. It appears then that the Personality of God, Lord Shiva, and the devotees, other devotees, in spite of their being situated in exalted positions, instructed by practical example on how to offer obeisances to their superiors. Lord Shiva offered his respectful obeisances to Brahma, because Brahma was his father, just as Kasyapa Muni was the father of Brahma. All the sages who were sitting with Lord Shiva, such as Narada and others, also offered their respectful obeisances to Lord Brahma. After being so worshipped, Lord Brahma, smiling, began to speak to Lord Shiva. Therefore, Lord Brahma was smiling because he knew that Shiva is not only easily satisfied, but easily irritated as well. He was afraid that Lord Shiva might be in an angry mood because he had lost his wife and had been insulted by Daksha. In order to conceal this fear, he smiled and addressed Lord Shiva as follows. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I know that you are the controller of the entire material manifestation, the combination father and mother of the cosmic manifestation, and the Supreme Brahman beyond the cosmic manifestation as well. I know you in that way." Therefore, although Lord Brahma had received very respectful obeisances from Lord Shiva, he knew that Lord Shiva was in a more exalted position than himself. Lord Shiva's position is described in the Brahma Samhita. There is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva in their original positions, but still Lord Shiva is different from Lord Vishnu. The example is given that the mill in yogurt is not different from the original mill from which it was made. Translation: all the sages and demigods headed by Indra offered their respectful obeisances under Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and absorbed in France, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. So, here we see a description of the meeting between Lord Shiva with his group of persons who were listening to him, and the group of devatas headed by Lord Brahma, who had come to request Lord Shiva not to be angry, and thereby save the world from his angry followers. So Lord Shiva is described, previous verses also describe Lord Shiva. Here it describes Lord Shiva as being in Samadhi, Brahma Nirvana Samadhi. And then in that state, the Devatas and Lord Brahma offer their respects to him with their folded hands. Generally, Brahma Nirvana refers to impersonal meditation and realization. The word Brahma, of course, can mean the Supreme Lord, as in Atato Brahma Jigyasa, it can mean the Supreme Lord, or it can mean Brahman. But the word Nirvana usually has an impersonal connotation, because it means negation. It literally means to wipe out nothingness. This word is commonly used in Buddhism as the word to describe their experience of liberation, nothingness, nirvana. So we have the word Brahma Nirvana, so it has that impersonal connotation to it. And we'll see in the Bhagavad Gita, in discussing about Jnana in chapter 5, for instance, the word Brahma Nirvana is also used to describe the impersonal realization. However, we also know that Lord Shiva is not an impersonalist, because he recognizes Vishnu as his master and he meditates on the Supreme Lord. So it is not necessarily all times that this Brahma Nirvana will mean simply meditation on the impersonal Brahman. It can also mean the Supreme Lord with his name, form, and qualities, who is a negation of the material world with all its qualities. That meditation on the Supreme Lord, who is the opposite of all material qualities, he can also be called Brahma Nirvana. So, Lord Shiva was in Samadhi when the Devatas saw him, which means he was actually undisturbed, completely undisturbed. If he had been in a disturbed state, he could not have Samadhi. Samadhi means the mind is completely concentrated. So the Devatas approached him, and then they began to address him. But we see that Lord Shiva, he offered his respects to Brahma, in spite of the fact that Lord Shiva is in a higher position, because he is not a Jiva. But by the context of family, Brahma was the father, because Shiva arose from the eyebrows of Brahma when Brahma became angry. So technically he is the son in this particular kalpa anyway. So therefore he offers his respects to Brahma. Example is given of Vamadeva offering respects to Kasyapa, even though Vamana is Supreme Lord and Kasyapa is Jiva. But because he's father, he offers respects. So even the Supreme Lord is willing to worship others according to the context. So, and not only Lord Shiva, but all those exalted persons like Narada and Kumaras, who were also Shaktivesh avatars, they also offered respects to Brahma. Why? Because they're also the sons of Brahma. Narada was born from Brahma, and the Kumaras were also born from Brahma, what to speak of all the other sages. So they all respected Lord Brahma as the father. And then Lord Brahma began to speak. So generally, you'll see in the Bhagavatam, when the Devatas approach the Supreme Lord or Shiva or anyone of high authority, they will offer prayers to introduce themselves. They will glorify that person. So here, Lord Brahma glorifies Lord Shiva by describing him. Of course, we will see here that he describes him in terms of the Supreme Lord. So actually, we should replace Shiva here with Vishnu. because he calls him the creator, everything is in you, etc. Technically speaking, all of this belongs to not Shiva, but to Vishnu. But Brahma here prays to him praises him and giving him the position of Vishnu. So actually we should not literally take these words as applying to Lord Shiva, even though Brahma is addressing Shiva at this point. So here he says, you are the controller, you are Isha, you are the controller of everything, of the material world, of Vishva. You are the source of everything. As I said, this should be applied not to Shiva, but to Vishnu. As we see from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna said, everything comes from me, I am the source of everything, I am the seed of creation, etc. So, technically, it should apply to Vishnu. We will see, of course, in Shiva Purana or Skanda Purana and other Puranas, that sometimes Shiva is described in this way. He is supreme, he is the creator, he is the controller, he is the creator and the destroyer, he is the supreme Brahman. So we should not take those words literally. Why? Because there is also a difference between Shiva and Vishnu. They are not exactly the same. Rama and Krishna and Narasimha are the same, and we're going to say they're all supreme creators, destroyers, etc. We cannot put Shiva in the same position, in spite of the fact that he is also a form of Ishvara, or the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he does not perform all those functions. He does not carry out these functions in the same way and with the same authority as Vishnu does. No? So he is not that complete. Therefore, he's put in a separate category. He is in charge of destruction of the material world, not the creation. His powers are more limited than the Vishnu forms. So therefore we cannot apply all these terms to him literally. Brahma here also obviously understands the difference between Shiva and Vishnu. At the beginning of his life, Brahma meditated on Vishnu, not on Shiva. And he saw Vishnu form. And then he got knowledge from him, he got the Bhagavatam from the Supreme Lord, and was able to carry out creation. So he understood the source of his powers was actually Vishnu and no one else. Therefore when he is speaking here, we should not think that he's making some big mistake or he's illusion, but he is out of etiquette praising Lord Shiva. Just as the Shiva Purana or the Linga Purana or the Skanda Purana will also praise Lord Shiva. And in that case we have Vasudeva writing these works and giving praise to Lord Shiva as Supreme Lord, Param Brahma, Bhagavan, etc. So we'll have to take the words in a certain context and not apply them literally. Why? Because we'll see in other places there is contradiction. The import of the Bhagavatam is not that Shiva is the same. He is different. And therefore we'll see him acting as the servant of Vishnu and Krishna at all times. Therefore we shouldn't take these words literally to apply to Shiva. But they're very apt for Vishnu. So he says that you are the controller of the entire cosmic manifestation, the mother and father of the cosmic manifestation, the supreme Brahman, beyond the material world. In this way he gives praise to Shiva as the final form of the Supreme Lord, the form of God. In the rest of his prayers also we will see this same type of statement made. The one who is the controller of everything, we can say is God. There is no one who controls him. So when we get to that position where there is someone who controls everything else and he has no controller, then we can apply that term God to him. Of course, that's not a complete description, but it's one of the qualifications that is controller. Because he controls more, therefore he's put in a higher position. And if nobody else is beyond him controlling, then he's in the highest position because of that control, the way he controls. Now there are other aspects of God also beyond control, that is creation. And so if the final creator is God, then there's no creator beyond him, no one can create him. If the Lord creates everything else, but he is not created, then he is called God also. So creative aspect is also an aspect of God. Knowledge is also an aspect of God. He knows everything, and those under him don't know everything. So if he's got greater knowledge, then he would be called God. If someone has higher knowledge than them, in other words, God, there's someone that God doesn't know, and that person knows God, then how can it be God? So then God will have all knowledge. He'll be in the high position of knowledge beyond all others. So that's another common idea. So we have God who is controller, God who is creator, God who is knowing everything, omniscient. These are some general conceptions of God. At the same time, God should not be affected by what he creates. He should not be under the influence of his creation. Otherwise, he cannot be perfect. If he has the faults of the material creation, then he is faulty. So God cannot have those faults. He cannot be contaminated in any way, even though he creates the material world. So that is another aspect of the Supreme Lord. He's completely untouched by what he creates. So these are general things, and Brahma will later describe all these different aspects of the Supreme Lord, and he'll apply that to Lord Shiva. In one sense, it is true. They do apply to Shiva because he is God. But we cannot say that he is ultimately the supreme creator and knower, etc. Because he acts as a servant of Vishnu. So he doesn't manifest those particular qualities in relation to Vishnu forms. He has less manifestation of those. Therefore, we don't put him in the highest position.
Advaita.
It talks about Advaita and Sarashiva in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But usually we'll see that it seems to refer to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is a Vishnu form. And of course, Sadashiva also sometimes refers to that Mahavishnu form, not the Shiva form. The two forms also of Vishnu and Shiva are somewhat related, because we'll see in Brahma Samhita that this Shiva form manifests after the Mahavishnu form in relation to material world, because we'll have Shiva and Parvati, and then we'll have material world manifestation because of them. But beyond that is Mahavishnu. So they're somewhat, we can say, different and non-different. Shiva and Vishnu. Sometimes the word Sadashiva refers to the name itself means Vishnu. Because Sadashiva literally means all auspicious at all times. So therefore, sometimes that word also just refers to Vishnu himself. So there's a Sadashiva form in the Vaikuntha. So that's a Vishnu form, it's not a Shiva form. So that also, so that word Sadashiva is a little ambiguous. Yeah, they are, when Shiva is in the material world, it's described that Brahma gave Shiva different places to reside. Where can I reside, he said. So then Brahma said, you reside here, 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 in the water, in the air, in the earth, in the heart, in the mind, anger, etc. He gave him different places. So then he has 11 expansions. So that Shiva can expand in many different forms. This is avatars. The Lord expands in different avatars. So Shiva can expand himself in the material world in different forms also. These 11 Ekadas rulers.
know, she was not a post like Brahma. Before he was. You can categorize him to be special or between them.
Yeah, he is Ishvara, the Supreme Lord.
The same Shiva until the generation. She was born from Brahma's body. The same Shiva continuing in all of these.
Yeah, actually he's got an eternal body, as Nectar Devotion says. Shiva's got more qualities than Jiva's, so therefore one of the qualities is eternal body. So he's not actually born, but he appears to be born, like Krishna is born and whatever, or Rama is born, like that. But he actually has an eternal body. So therefore he's not created and destroyed. Whereas Brahma gives up his body at the end of the creation and everything, and at the time of Prahlad he gives up his body, but Shiva does not do so. Well, we say like that because just as we can say Vrindavan is eternal, but what happens when the universe is destroyed, it disappears, it's apricot in one sense, but it's still there, but we can't see it. So we can say the same for Lord Shiva. Not technically, he's different. He's a demigod in the sense that he's accepted along with all the others in the same way and worshipped for the same purposes, for material things, but actually he's in a higher position because he's actually a form of the Supreme Lord.
One question
is, like,
you see, Narada Muni is the
inclination of devotion,
that
he has the inclination of devotion, that
is the same category as
Shiva? Okay.
Huh?
Okay, sir. He's
Guna
avatar. Guna, yes. Tamagun. Same category, like he has the Narada Muni.
Well, Narada Muni is a jiva.
Jiva,
yes. Ah, Shaktivesh. Shiva is not a jiva. Vyasadev is Supreme Lord also. Sometimes jiva, but usually Supreme Lord. So I suppose we can say that because Mahavishnu is also a partial incarnation, he's an expansion of Shankarshan. So he's also partial in that sense. But we can't say that he is in any way, you know, like half an incarnation or something like that, because they're always full. They're always Supreme Lord. Expansion, expansion, expansion. They're always the Supreme Lord. But they may manifest less qualities. So therefore, Mahavishnu manifests less powers than Shankarshan, who's in Vaikuntha. He'll manifest less power, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have the powers, but he doesn't, because he's related to creation of the material world, then he shows less powers like that. So in that sense, he's a partial incarnation. Where?
Lord Rama gave respect to Shiva.
Let us see the actual text. Whether Ramayana is actually there. They've added, some people add things in also, so we have to see if it's the actual text or not first. For instance, they also say he worshipped Shiva before he went to Lanka, but that's not there in the Ramayana. Valmiki Ramayana, it's not there. So sometimes people add things into the story.
So what is the status of Tulsidas?
Well, we accept the, if there's any contradiction, we have to accept Valmiki. Because he wrote, is based on that, but you know, we have a, generally we should go to the original.
Harihara Kshetra, they worship Hari and Hara.
Oh, Vishnu Shiva, come on. Well, of course, that can be taken in several ways. That even that Sanskrit verse,
It can also be taken to see them as non-different, or as different is an offense. Shiva and Vishnu. To take them as different is an offense also. Some people take it that way. But anyway, they are, Shiva is also non-different, as Prabhupada says here, because yogurt and milk are non-different. So in that sense, they are non-different.
It's
not mentioned, well, because Prakriti is eternal. Also, we can say that she also is in one sense. So maybe she doesn't manifest. It's not mentioned anywhere what happened to them. Not mentioned. I would suggest they're jivas, though.
But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that his best lieutenant is Skanda. Skanda is the best of his lieutenants.
Yeah.
So does that mean that he's the Devata?
In that list, there's so many persons. Some are jivas. Of the Pandavas, I'm Arjuna. So of the mountains, I'm the Himalayas. Of the rivers, I'm the Ganga. Of birds, I'm Garuda. Of fishes, I'm the Makara. So animals, I'm the lion. The trees, I'm a banyan tree. So it doesn't mean that simply because the list is there that they're Supreme Lord.
And
Shiva Purana? Oh, that? Well, as a Shiva Purana, we don't accept as a final authority. Because it will praise Shiva as Bhagavan there, the Supreme Lord. So that's contrary to the Sattvic Puranas. So therefore, we don't accept those statements if they're contradictory. Yeah, you can. In that sense, yes, you can. But it's just like Shiva is Supreme Lord because he's Ishvara, but he also manifests less qualities, therefore it put him in a separate category. So you can go there, but then qualities manifest are less than those of Vishnu and Vaikuntha. Well, technically, he's in a higher position, yeah, to be on the material world. Compiled only, not written. Compiled. Yeah, to give people in the Tamagun some faith. They're written for Tamagun people, so he gives them faith by those statements. If he writes the Shiva Purana and says, don't worship Lord Shiva, then because he's not supreme, then they won't worship Lord Shiva. So the whole idea is to cultivate the people in Tamagun, so they should worship Lord Shiva. So then he gives them faith by which they can worship Shiva. But we also reject it. As Krishna says, all of this is in the gunas, so ultimately reject it. So therefore, Narada Muni told Vedavyasa also, therefore all this useless, all the Puranas are useless. Therefore, he wrote Bhagavatam.
Granthara Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Holiness Bhagavan Maharaj.
Today Brahman Bhajan is sponsored by Her Grace Bhakti Mai Mataji. She can receive the prasadam garden.